Will should take over.
Well, we're very close. We're seconds away.
Yeah,
from
and
the
so if it's
hour.
As prompt as it wasn't in the 4 o'clock hour.
Elevator going up. Hi, this is Lance Treadwell from Albany, New York. You're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Acra.
Perfect. Hi, everybody. This is Dan from the Battlefield Earth Program. Have you donated yet to the radio station WGXC? Well, it's as easy as going to WGXC.org and hitting the donate button. It's like picking a chocolate out of a baby's hair. Please remember, we need you so that you can need us. WGXC.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
Call the WGXC feedback line anytime, 518-291-9492. If you have something to say about something you heard on WGXC, give us a call. Write it audio letter to the editor. Call in at 518-291-9492. Leave a 3-minute message and we'll play it back on All Together Now. That's 518-291-9492. To leave an audio letter to the editor at 518-291-9492. WGXC at 518-291-9492.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
You've tuned in to All Together Now, WGXC's regional look at the news from Hudson Valley and the Capital Region, from the Catskills to the Berkshires and beyond. I'm Tom Rowe, and today you'll hear all sorts of local news updates, weather, interviews, and more, plus community events and the song of the day on All Together Now.
This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network, network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
We take you now to
this radio broadcast.
You are tuned in to All Together Now, a collaborative one-hour news show for community radio stations in the Capital Region and New York's Hudson Valley. All Together Now features contributions from the public, along with programmers at WOOC in Troy and WGXC in Acre, featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News. I'm Philip Green. Amanda Purcell is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The city of Hudson's Oakdale Lake, which typically opens around Memorial Day, opened late this year on July the 4th. That was because until the city's Common Council took action on a $46,500 budget amendment June 27th, the funds needed to have lifeguards on duty 7 days a week from noon to 6 p.m. did not exist. Youth Department Director Nick Zakos, who oversees the Oakdale facilities, said, and I quote, "We had to wait and make sure that we had the money to pay lifeguards outside the hours of our summer camp," end quote.
In addition to the $9,000 for lifeguards, the amendment will also allow the youth department to make facilities upgrades, including new fire alarm and heating systems and funding for summer programs. Zacco said there were about 75 visitors to the beach the first day it was open. Most of the visitors walk and many take taxis to the beach, he said. The beach is open through the end of August. Swimming is allowed only when a lifeguard is on duty from noon to 6 p.m. every day. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Casey Sealer is reporting for the Times Union. The Green Correctional Facility in Coxsackie spent the recent Independence Day holiday under water restrictions. The facility responded to a July 3rd advisory issued by the village of Coxsackie following the latest of four water main breaks since June 28th. The prison water system draws principally from the village network. The situation required Green to stagger showers and laundry use. The State Department of Health was aware of the situation in its role as the Environmental Health Agency for Green County. The restrictions were lifted late in the day, July 5th. Coxsackie Mayor Mark Evans said the village does not have much of a water storage system, which increases the impact of multiple water main breaks within a short period of time. Evans said breaks usually occur during the colder months due to extreme cold and sudden thaws. He said, and I quote, "Why are we getting them this week? It's anybody's guess," end quote. Read the full story in the Times Union. Bill Williams is reporting for WCTW-FM, The Cat. Paving work on Route 9 in Greenport will begin Monday, July 9th. Motorists are advised to plan for delays on Route 9 between the Hudson City line and the intersection at Bell's Pond. The work will continue through Friday, July 27th. The Times Union is reporting the State Office of Court Administration shut down the Rensselaer County Courthouse late in the morning of July the 5th due to a cooling system malfunction in the building. The courthouse, located at 2nd and Congress Street, houses the state Supreme Court, county court, and surrogates court operations. It also houses the district attorney's and public defender's offices. The court calendars for the remainder of the day were canceled. Court officials said the third floor was very hot. Judges' chambers, a courtroom, the district attorney's office, and the grand jury are all located on that floor. Read the full story in the Times Union. Diane Pinero Zucker is reporting for the Daily Freeman. On July 5th, village officials said the Saugerties Village Beach on Estefus Creek has been closed due to high levels of fecal contamination. Saugerties Mayor Bill Murphy said the beach was closed because of high fecal bacteria levels caused by, and I quote, extreme heat, end quote. He said Saugerties was not alone, and that, and I quote, multiple beaches in New York State have been closed for the same reason, end quote. Murphy said the beach will not reopen until it can be retested and cleared by county officials. He said, and I quote, "The hope was to reopen by this weekend," end quote. It is unknown when the water will be retested. The source of the contamination was unknown. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website. WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Graham. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow. Here is the regional weather forecast for the Hudson Valley and Capital Region. From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Weather Update. The Spring 2018 Radio Everywhere Pledge Drive ends today, but there is still time to give. Your support will make all the difference. Call 518-697-7400 or go online to donate. And thank you for supporting creative community radio in New York's Green and Columbia counties. And now for the weather. The National Weather Service in Albany is predicting a mostly sunny afternoon with a temperature high of 80 degrees and a northwest wind around 14 miles an hour. It will be mostly clear tonight with a low around 53 degrees. The forecast for the weekend, Saturday will be sunny with a temperature high of 78 degrees and a north wind at 5 to 7 miles an hour. It will be clear Saturday night with a temperature low of around 55. And on Sunday, sunny with a high near 84 degrees and a calm wind. Sunday night, mostly clear with a low around 60 degrees. So there you have your WGXC Hands-On Radio weather report.
For local news, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org.
Next, we have these reports.
We do want to make sure you know that Catskill Irish Arts Week begins this week. July 8th through July 14th is when it all happens at various East Durham locations with all sorts of workshops, teaching experiences, shows, concerts, dance, and more. The big concerts of the week begin on Monday, July 9th at the MJQ Festival Grounds off of Route 145 in East Durham. There, Monday night, 7:30, Celtic Lambs performs, followed by Oliver O'Connell at 8:20, and the Yanks with Joey Arbata and Jackie O'Reilly perform at the MJQ Festival Grounds on Route 145, Monday, July 9th. Tuesday, July 10th, Paul Keating is the MC, and at 7:30 p.m., Mary Bergen, Willie Kelly, Josh Dukes, Myron Brettholz, and Marin Uchetti, whose name I'm probably mispronouncing, perform. There's also Oliver O'Connell, 8:20, and at 8:40, Dr. Mick Maloney in the Green Fields of America with Athena Turgis, Billy McComsky, Brenda Castles, Jerry O'Sullivan, and Niall O'Leary. Wednesday, the Great Barn Dance is at the MJQ Festival Grounds. And that's music for the evening with Margie Mulvey, John Reynolds, and the Pride of Mulvane Sealy Band. That's the dance party, 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. at the MJQ Festival Grounds off Route 145 with Patrick McKinney as the MC. Thursday, July 12th at the MJQ Festival Grounds, Myron Brettholz is the MC. Brendan Dolan, Brian Conway, Rose Flanagan, Laura Byrne, and Patrick McErney perform at 7:30 p.m. 8:20, Oliver O'Connell has a short set. And then at 8:30 p.m., the Casey sisters, Nolig, Mary, and Mareed perform. Friday, July 13th is the final big show at the MJQ Festival Grounds with Paul Keating as MC, Pat Egan, Jimmy Cohen, Pauline Conealy, Patrick Orsia, and Reagan Wick performing, and it ends with a thing called Cherish the Ladies with Joni Madden leading her band called Cherish the Ladies, and a concert with Joni Madden, Nolik Casey, Mary Coogan, Morelli Murray, Kathleen Boyle, and Donnie Golden. That's also at the MJQ Festival Grounds. The big shows are there in the evenings, and then there's a bunch of smaller shows, listening rooms, sessions, lectures and presentations, lunchtime chats, dance performances, and more. You want to go to CatskillIrishArtsWeek.com. That's CatskillIrishArtsWeek.com for more information all about Catskill Irish Arts Week, July 8th through July 14th at various East Durham locations.
Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, your daily grassroots global, unembedded, independent, international investigative news hour, broadcasting live every weekday morning at 8 here on WGXC 90.7 FM in Greene and Columbia counties.
I'm Philip Gray, one of the contributors to All Together Now. Listen to Democracy Now! In the morning and All Together Now! In the evening, WGXC's collaborative hour-long news show at 6 p.m., featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported hands-on radio.
Democracy Now! At 8.
All Together Now! At 6 p.m.
Here on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now.
go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page, and copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.
Now joining us on the Skype is Peter Warren, the acting chair of the Capital District Democratic Socialists of America. Peter, can you hear us?
Loud and clear, Tom. Thanks.
Oh, great. We can hear you loud and clear, too. Can you tell us what the Democratic Socialists of America is?
It's a national organization. It's not a political party. It's a political movement that involves political, social, and economic change. Nationwide chapters, we have a 9-10 county area, including Columbia and Greene, by the way. There's a chapter to the south of us, Hudson Valley, Democratic Socialists, a huge one in New York City, etc. It's been around for about, I think, around 30 years, from the 1980s, late 70s. Established by Michael Harrington, and things have been happening.
I guess last Tuesday, you guys got some national attention.
Yes, indeed. One of our comrades, a DSA member, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, did a massive upset on the boss of the Queens Democratic Party. We're still celebrating from that. And may I put in a plug here, Julia Salazar is running for state senate. She's also a DSA member. In the last round of interim elections, we had a lot of good news. We have a solid sprinkling of DSA members running for and winning public office around the country. And that's one facet of our operations. I think the New York City comrades really put together a great organization that and effort behind Ocasio-Cortez that sort of validates our strategy, and I think also the strategy of Bernie Sanders in the primary. That is, we don't take corporate contributions. That would be against our basic anti-capitalist orientation, so we don't do that. He didn't either. So we rely on the leverage of motivation, enthusiasm, good organization, good organizing principles, lots of volunteers, lots of shoe leather, lots of canvassing. And I think if you can do that to a very powerful Democrat, if Bernie Sanders had come as far as he did, there's a future for that sort of strategy. So we're, in fact, in our chapter, we've just established our electoral working group, and I think we'll probably try to go after some of the low-hanging fruit, local municipal offices. We have no money, you know, at this point, except for contributions. So we'll try to run people for municipal offices, county legislature, city councils that don't require a lot of funds to get in the game with. And I'm excited about that prospect.
And what are the major policy differences, I guess, you have with Democrats?
I think the big one is capitalism. We're explicitly anti-capitalist, and by capitalism I mean not the market system per se, but the huge concentration of wealth in the hands of private citizens, or groups like corporations, or the Chamber of Commerce. that is used for an exploitive and negative purpose. That is to take power and wealth and status away from working people and give more to themselves. So Democrats won't really go there. They will not really address that. I think the reason why so many of my comrades and the Capital District chapter and New York and elsewhere responded to this is because and joined the DSA is because of that difference. You know, Senator Sanders is not shy about talking about big banks. He was very frank about the fact that the billionaire class controls us, which it does, you know, politically. They bought the system. He was not shy about, you know, how these concentrations of power in the hands of a few and wealth in the hands of a few make a worse society and a worse outcome for all of us, for working people. So that's that. I think the Democrats right now, since a lot of their funding does come from these sources, from billionaires, from corporations, especially I think from the financial sector, they're kind of hung up like a cow in a barbed wire fence. They see the energy of our movement. They'd like to co-opt us. They'd like to have us under the big tent. They'd like to, and many other allied groups as well, Indivisible, Our Revolution, you know, our allies and partners in electoral politics and others, they'd like to have all that energy, you know, channeled to their benefit, but they can't go far enough because there's strings attached to them. Actually, ropes, I would say, chains. They can't go outside of the envelope and make the appeal that Sanders did because they're tied to those special interests. And that's I think, the major demarcation line.
Yeah, I was going to this is related, I guess. Do you see yourselves as sort of like the Working Families Party, a wing or related to the Democrats, or more like the Libertarians, someone who draws from both major parties?
Well, we're dedicated right now. National DSA has made, a great decision. We're determined to set up our own electoral infrastructure. And that means in some cases we will ally ourselves and work within the Democratic Party's four Democratic Party Congresses. Ocasio-Cortez ran on the Democratic ticket. If we were to, oh happy day, run a mayoral candidate for Albany, for example, it probably would be on the Democratic ticket. However, that does not mean we would basically ally ourselves with them. And we also plan on, and I know our chapter is interested in this, and I all the other chapters are too, in running people as explicitly democratic socialists, as Ocasio-Cortez did, as Salazar did, as Lee Carter did in Virginia. So the whole idea, I mean, an aspirational goal, you know, would be we're going to have a socialist majority on the city council in Troy. May that day come soon. Or in Saugerties, the town council. And these people will, they might draw votes from Democrats. I mean, there's only so far we can go as a 501c4. But we can certainly have people identified as our members run for office and, you know, even though we're not explicitly a political party, we can make that happen. So that's the plan. And, you know, it's not, I think strategically, we're not trying to split votes. And I knowing my comrades and national, we have not played that sort of spoiler role so that reactionaries could win. But we do plan. Again, there's a fundamental difference between us and the Democrats, fundamental. On the basic political level, we are not them. Even though, in you know, there's lots of things that you know, on LGBT rights and lots of other issues, we see eye to eye. Anti-capitalism is where we step off the train.
And some of the National Democrats have been criticizing the Democratic Socialists since the primary last week, saying that Ocasio-Cortez's politics wouldn't play in other parts of the country. But isn't that like saying John Faso's politics wouldn't play in Chicago?
Right. Right. I mean, look at Medicare for All. I mean, that's a national priority. That's a national campaign. We are out there canvassing for that. We just did this, this last weekend. That's a transformational reform, as we describe it, that's wildly popular wherever it polls. I mean, everybody. I just got my Medicare card, personally. Yay! that's something that could be tailored to whatever demographic you can think of, who's not completely reactionary.
Well, the Republicans are trying to cut Medicare and Medicaid, right? Isn't that their proposed budget?
Right, right. And good luck with that one. And I think that one of the reasons why I'm in DSA instead of on the more liberal, progressive, Democratic side is what I see as Democrats' inability or unwillingness to really come out forcefully and defend those things. I mean, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, these are some of the best things that progressive people have ever done for the American people. And they're very successful programs. And the idea, for example, that President Obama would want to offer up some sort of cuts to those programs in his grand bargain, it just horrified me. So I think Ocasio-Cortez's platform, Fight for 15, Abolish ICE, Medicare for All, those other things, I think could play in almost any urban area throughout the United States. And our chapter contains a lot of rural areas too in our 10-county region, we're willing to get our feet wet in terms of putting those out to rural people as well, who, after all, have been suffering. I'm from the Mohawk Valley. The Mohawk Valley is economically devastated, and neither party will really look at that and address it. You'd say Republicans, well, of course they wouldn't. They think that's fine. That's capitalism working the way it should, right? Those areas fall into rust and decay, and the people become immiserated. That's business as usual. You'd think Democrats would have a different position on that, but they don't. President Obama came to Albany and he visited SUNY Nanotech. All well and good. He could have spent another 25 minutes coming to Amsterdam, New York, and seeing the consequences of neoliberal policies play out in front of him. It's an ugly sight. That town's distressed. There's lots of people, brown, black, and white, who are suffering. Working people are suffering as a result of deindustrialization and a lot of other stuff, as well as opioids and so on. Take a look at this. Get out of your car and walk around. Why would a Democrat not want to address that? So I think these are the sort of things that are, we believe, passionately should be addressed. I think that our platform, it's a simple, it's a appealing platform to working people. We're excited and we're psyched about putting this out there and in the electoral arena, and we have a couple other legs to our stool as well.
And if you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Peter Warren, the acting chair of the Capital District Democratic Socialists of America. Peter, do you have a website that people can go to for more information?
No website, but we are on Facebook. So that would be Capital District Democratic Socialists of America. We have a public-facing website, which you can find if you do a search there. We're working on a website, but our Facebook page right now is our main source of news to anybody who wants to show up, and we have a lot of interest.
And you mentioned the immigration issue a moment ago. There are, I think, about 200 migrants being held in the Albany County Jail right now. There is one 8-year-old child being held away from his parents in the Kingston facility. Do you think this is an issue that resonates locally or not?
It resonates strongly.
We could be so good together, yeah, so good together. We could be so good together, yeah, we could, I know we could. Tell you lies, I tell you wicked lies. Tell you lies, tell you wicked lies. Tell you about the world that we'll invent. Wanting world without lament. Enterprise, expedition, invitation and invention. Yeah, so good together.
Hi, I'm Christina from Colony. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM A-Crap.
Tops, bottoms, tops, bottoms,
you're listening to Radio Wonderland, live on WGXC, radio made from radio.
Tops, bottoms, tops, bottoms.
Tune in Joshua Free's Radio Wonderland, Saturdays at 10:30 a.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM for a live remix of New York City Morning Radio on WGXC, Creative Community Radio.
Tops, bottoms.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Yancey Roy reports in Newsday that Governor Andrew Cuomo received about $64,000 in contributions from Donald Trump about a decade ago, and he has no intentions to return the money. Cuomo told reporters July 5th in Brooklyn, and I quote, "No, not at all. I'm going to be deeply critical of him and keep his contributions," end quote. Cynthia Nixon, his opponent in the Democratic primary in September, has called for Cuomo to give the money back. She said Cuomo, and I quote, "cannot serve as a defense against Donald Trump when he's accepted tens of thousands of dollars in campaign donations from Donald Trump," end quote. Read the full story in Newsday. Governor Andrew M. Cuomo announced July the 6th that New York's maple industry produced 806,000 gallons of maple syrup in 2018, a 74-year record. Cuomo's press release claims the maple industry has grown by nearly 50% in the state in the last 5 years. Cuomo was quoted saying in a press release, and I quote, "The maple industry is one of New York's most important agricultural sectors, and it continues to grow year over year, infusing millions into the economy and bringing New York national recognition for its quality. The growth of the industry is an indicator of our fantastic producers who work hard to make some of the best maple syrup in the country and the innovative and unique maple products that consumers are demanding," end quote. The USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service says New York produced about 19% of the nation's maple syrup, with more than 2.73 million tops in production in 2018, the most since 1943. New York had a longer season in 2018, 52 days compared to 43 days in 2017. The full press release is available at governor.ny.gov. Paul Brooks reports in the Times-Herald that Representative John Faso, the Republican of Kinderhook, was in Ulster County July 5th, though the appearance was not listed on the public schedule page of his website. Faso was at Tilson Lake in Gardiner talking to activists who want to save the lake. The owners, the Palisades Interstate Park Commission, want to drain the lake and tear down the dam that gives the 23-acre lake at the foot of the Shawangun Ridge water. The executive director of the group wrote a March 28th letter that his agency does not have the money to repair the weakened dam. It is unclear what a congressperson can do about the state issue, and Paso did not offer any specific remedies. Tara Linehan of New Platts said she swam in the lake five times this week. She said, and I quote, "We have to try to talk some sense into them. It's my favorite place to go. I don't have to pay to go swimming. I'm a local. It's where we go." End quote. Read the full story in the Times Herald Record. Alex Koch and Josefa Velasquez report at Sludge.com about which New York companies, nonprofits, and governments are making money from the federal government's Immigration Customs and Enforcement Agency. Part of the Department of Homeland Security, the relatively new agency has little infrastructure of its own, so it has many contracts around the country. Locally, the state of New York is the only entity receiving ICE money, with a $15,000 contract in the city of Albany. In Utica, the Central Association for the Blind is getting over $52,000 from ICE, and ML Enterprises Incorporated receives over $500,000 in Middletown in Orange County. The Albany Towns Union reported about a July 6 ICE protest in Latham, where the agency has an office. The activist group Ice Free Capital District called for an end to the Trump administration's treatment of immigrants and for eliminating the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency at the protest. According to the Times Union, the Latham Ice office is used to process detainees and for immigration check-ins. There are also reportedly more than 230 migrants being held in the Albany County Jail, and one child separated from his mother held in Kingston. That wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For weather reports, public meetings, and other local information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org.
Here is the week in Congressman John Faso news. Votes he took, positions he espoused, and protest rallies and town halls that he attended or not. The 538.com website currently reports that John Faso votes with Donald Trump's positions 89.4% of the time.
Aaron Kelly in USA Today reports that on June 28th, Representative John Faso, the Republican of Kinderhook, voted for a resolution, and I quote, insisting, end quote, that the Justice Department turn over many documents by July 6 about the ongoing investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 election and possible collusion between the president's campaign and the Russians. All Republicans voted for the resolution. All Democrats voted against. Republicans made clear this is a part of an attempt to end the investigation into the president's campaign. Mark Meadows, a South Carolina-based Republican, said, and I quote, "When we get these documents, we believe that they will do away with this whole fiasco of what they call the Russian-Trump collusion because there wasn't any," end quote. Republicans said they would impeach Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein if he doesn't comply with the request or hold him in contempt of Congress. Democrats believe the bipartisan investigation should be allowed to complete its work. Representative Adam Schiff of California said, and I quote, "This is a collaboration with the president masquerading as oversight," end quote. And New York's Representative Gerald Nadler said, and I quote, "If they somehow bully the Department of Justice into turning over materials that go to the core of Special Counsel Mueller's investigation, that information probably would be shared with the subjects of the investigation, mainly the president," end quote. You read the full story in USA Today. On June 29th, Congress began the July 4th holiday, when most legislators go back to their districts to meet with constituents, but Representative John Faso does not have anything at all listed on the public schedule on his website. The Kinderhook-based Republican has not listed any public events on his website for over 6 months. The Delaware County Scope Group, however, has publicized a July 21st Faso appearance, that is, at a rally for the Second Amendment pro-gun rights event at 11 a.m. at the Courthouse Square in Delhi. Chris Tague, the Republican State Assemblyman from the 102nd District, is also listed in attendance at the event.
Ellen Ferguson reports in Roll Call that the Senate passed its farm bill June 28th without the cuts to food stamps championed by Representative John Faso, Republican from Kinderhook.
The bill passed 86-11, with both New York Senators Chuck Schumer and Kirsten Gillibrand voting in favor. Next, there will be a Senate House Conference Committee after Congress returns from its week-long 4th of July recess to work out the differences. Chief among them is the House insistence to add more work requirements to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or food stamps. The Senate bill would also, unlike the House version, legalize industrial hemp production, encourage exports to Cuba, extend the flood insurance program, and allow grazing on some conservation lands. Read the full story in Roll Call. Chris McKenna reports in The Fray that 2 days after Antonio Delgado became the Democratic nominee for Congress in the 19th Congressional District, the House Democrats campaign group added Delgado to a list of 55 challengers they will fund in the fall campaign. Delgado is taking on freshman Representative John Faso from Kinderhook in November. Quote, Antonio Delgado has the strength, integrity, and dedication to give this community the voice it deserves, unquote, Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee Chairman Ben Ray Lujan said June 28th. Delgado led his six rivals in fundraising in the primary campaign and will now get more money from the national Democrats. Read the full story at The Fray.
On July 2nd, local congressperson John Faso's campaign manager, Tom Szymanski, demanded Faso's opponent state his position on whether the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency should be closed. And I quote, Antonio Delgado's silence on this issue is disturbing. Mr. Delgado must immediately inform the voters of the 19th Congressional District if he stands with Mayor de Blasio, Kirsten Gillibrand, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Cynthia Nixon, or other fellow progressives on the loony left by wishing to abolish ICE. Voters deserve to know whether Mr. Delgado will work to abolish the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, end quote. But WGXC could not find any statements about not abolishing ICE on Faso's campaign website or on his congressional website, so voters may be unsure about Faso's position on the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency. Delgado, a Democrat, is now on record as he replied on Twitter July 3rd, saying he does not support abolishing ICE. Delgado's Twitter account said, and I quote, Congressman Faso should feel free to contact me directly with his inquiries about my positions. I would be happy to exchange cell phone numbers so that he does not need his staffer to send out statements written by Paul Ryan, end quote. New York Senator Gillibrand has said she would like to, and I quote, reimagine, end quote, the agency with a, and I quote, very different mission. I don't think ICE is working as intended. I believe it has become a deportation force, and I think it should separate the criminal justice from the immigration issues, end quote. New York's other senator, Chuck Schumer, has a significantly different opinion. He said, and I quote, ICE does some functions that are very much needed. Reform ICE? Yes. That's what I think we should do, end quote. A Harvard-Harris poll from June 24th, 25th found that about half of the self-identified liberals said ICE should be disbanded. 41% of Democrats agreed, and 22% of Republicans agreed with ending the agency. Labor Day was once said to be the beginning of the campaign season, but with a heated political environment, the election between freshman Representative John Faso, a Republican, and Democrat Antonio Delgado is already underway. Neither candidate lists local appearances in advance on their websites, but there were reports that they were marching in local parades on the 4th of July. Delgado showed photos on his Twitter feed of him in several parades, starting the day at the Hyde Park Independence Day Parade, where he marched with Assembly candidate Karen Smyth and others. Then he went to Oneata's hometown 4th Festival and ended the day at Windham's Parade in Greene County, marching with Assembly candidate Adrian O'Connor and others. According to social media accounts, Faso spent the morning marching in the Saugerties July 4th Parade.
All Together Now listens for feedback from the public. Anyone who wants to leave a public comment can call 518-291-9492 and leave an audio message up to 3 minutes with any sort of opinion about something you heard on All Together Now. You can also send emails to info@wgxc.org with opinions about what you hear here.
All Together Now. See the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org for more information on anything you hear on All Together Now.
All together now, let's fall apart.
All right, all together now. Ready?
All together now. Next, the national headlines from Public News Service.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast for Friday, July 6, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. Government watchdogs say both Pruitt and Wheeler are wrong for the EPA. Also on the Friday rundown, will some state elections focus on criminal justice and 100 years of migratory bird protections at risk? Topping our news, government ethics and watchdog groups, even some conservatives, are saying Scott Pruitt's resignation as EPA administrator is long overdue. Tramell Gomes has our report.
During his one-year tenure, Pruitt worked relentlessly to dismantle Obama-era regulations aimed at reducing pollution. But while most conservatives saw him as President Donald Trump's most effective cabinet member, he started to lose favor over misuse of power and spending a lot more taxpayer dollars than his predecessors on travel and security expenses. David Jenkins, with Conservatives for Responsible Stewardship, thinks Pruitt was never the right person for the job.
I don't see how anyone on the conservative side of the equation that's really a conservative and you know, understands personal responsibility and ethics, moral values, all those things, I don't see how anyone could be supportive of him after all the things that have happened.
Jenkins says now Trump should follow the lead of Ronald Reagan, who once was in a similar situation, by appointing someone who sees the value and mission of the EPA. The agency's current deputy administrator, Andrew Wheeler, a former coal company lobbyist, steps in as acting EPA chief until a permanent replacement is named. Environmental groups predict the Trump administration will continue its pattern of appointing the least likely candidate to head the agency. Kate Cook Schultz is director of U.S. PERG's Toxics Program and thinks the president should take time to really understand the purpose of the EPA.
Scott Pruitt has failed in the EPA mission to protect human health and the environment, and Americans are less safe today than they should be due to his poor decisions and leadership.
The Center for Western Priorities noted that the interim EPA administrator, Andrew Wheeler, has a track record of lobbying to reduce protections for public lands in the name of expanding uranium mining. Bloomberg reports President Trump is firing the biggest shot yet in the global trade war, imposing tariffs on $34 billion of Chinese imports, delivering on a promise to his political supporters. Bloomberg labels this the riskiest economic gamble of the Trump presidency and said it could spread as it enters a new and dangerous phase. China has vowed to hit back in kind on goods ranging from soybeans to pork. Modernizing the West Virginia sales tax is now possible due to a U.S. Supreme Court decision. It could help solve the state's budget problems. Dan Hyman tells us that includes help for the Public Employees Insurance Agency.
The Wayfair decision late last month means West Virginia can force internet retailers without a brick-and-mortar location in the state to pay sales tax, the same as in-state retailers. Ted Bettner with the West Virginia Center on Budget and Policy says one study found Amazon had been able to dodge billions in sales taxes that might now be collected.
This is an issue of tax fairness,
treat online retailers that are out of state the same as they treat brick-and-mortar stores in our communities. And not only would that make our tax code more fair, it would also bring in about $50 to $100 million.
Most estimates are that PEIA needs at least a steady new $50 million a year. But applying the state's 6% sales tax more broadly to include online sales would require the legislature's approval. And the governor has said it might be considered a tax increase, which he is likely to oppose.
And what role will criminal justice reform play in South Dakota's elections this year? Eric Tegedoff reports the ACLU says it should be a top issue for candidates.
The group is launching its Smart Justice campaign in the Peace Garden State today, pushing for a bigger focus on crime's connection to mental health, addiction, housing, employment, and education. Libby Screen with the ACLU of South Dakota says criminal justice shouldn't be about harsh sentencing at all costs, and that this election could be the criminal justice election.
Because our criminal justice system is so huge in this country and is such a big part of our state government, people really should be paying attention to these issues and how they affect communities and the state as a whole, as well as individuals.
The ACLU of South Dakota is also pushing for the state to reclassify ingestion of a drug from a felony to a misdemeanor. The South Dakota Legislature Research Council estimates that would save the state more than $6 million a year in prison and jail costs. And finally, Catherine Davis Young reports this week marks 100 years since the signing of the Migratory Bird Treaty Act, or MBTA, and conservation groups want the Trump administration to respect and enforce that law.
Signed in 1918, the law made it illegal to pursue, hunt, take, or capture migratory birds. Last December, the Interior Department rescinded Obama-era guidelines on prosecution of companies when their operations cause bird deaths, and issued new ones that don't prosecute companies unless they intentionally put birds under human control. Bob Dreher with Defenders of Wildlife says that leaves industries without any liability for bird deaths they cause.
They don't have to do anything in order to avoid the killing of migratory birds, even though they know that it will occur from what they're doing, and even though there may be reasonable and cost-effective things they could do to avoid killing birds.
Defenders of Wildlife, the National Audubon Society, and several other environmental groups have filed a lawsuit to challenge the rule changes. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for newsing and cruising with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.
Here is the regional weather forecast for the Hudson Valley and Capital Region.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Weather Update. The Spring 2018 Radio Everywhere Pledge Drive ends today, but there is still time to give. Your support will make all the difference. Call 518-697-7400 or go online to donate. And thank you for supporting Creative Community Radio in New York's Greene and Columbia counties. And now for the weather. The National Weather Service in Albany is predicting a mostly sunny afternoon with a temperature high of 80 degrees and a northwest wind around 14 miles an hour. It will be mostly clear tonight with a low around 53 degrees. The forecast for the weekend, Saturday will be sunny with a temperature high of 78 degrees and a north wind at 5 to 7 miles an hour. It will be clear Saturday night with a temperature low of around 55. And on Sunday, sunny with a high near 84 degrees and a calm wind. Sunday night, mostly clear with a low around 60 degrees. So there you have your WGXC Hands-On Radio weather report. For local news, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org.
Tune in Saturday, July 7th for Transmission Art on the Radio with the Radiophrenia Redux show at 1 a.m. featuring Stephen Jones, Isabel Straglatia, and Alessandro Bassetti. Then Radio News in the morning with the Amateur Radio Newsline at 7 a.m. and Glenn Hauser's World of Radio at 7:30 a.m. followed by Radio Survivor at 8 a.m. Then there's a special holiday edition of Donald Trump Theater, This is America, at 9:05 a.m. after the local news on Wavefarm Standing Wave Radio and WGXC.
Here's a quick peek at what's coming up on the WGXC 90.7 FM program schedule for Monday, July 9th. At 9 a.m., Simon and Willie kick off the day with the WGXC Morning Show, featuring music, news, talk, and community events. At 12 noon, just after the local news, tune in for the Monday Musical Matinee, presented by Lincoln Mayorga. At 2 p.m., Heather Martin will answer your calls about health care and advocacy on the monthly show Medical Freedom. At 3:30 p.m., Hudson residents Amelia, Mashuda, Fahim, and Emily discuss what they're reading and other literary topics on Bound by Books. At 4 p.m., Kieran Riley holds down the WGXC afternoon show with music, local news, interviews, events, weather updates, and more. At 7 p.m., Kurt Lehner and Abby Kors play alt-country, blues, rock and roll, and Americana on the Coyote Ghost radio show. And from 9:30 p.m. to midnight, Max Hamill explores instruments and the people who play them on Instrumentality. So please stay tuned for these programs and more on Monday, July 9th, right here on 90.7 FM or WGXC.org. Coming up on the WGXC 90.7 FM program schedule for Sunday, July 8th, here are some quick highlights. At 9 a.m., Phil Grant kicks off the day with the WGXC Morning Show, featuring the Sunday Morning Serenade with Solid Gold Soul. At 11 a.m., stand-up comedian Jason Smith brings you comedy, music, and talk on the monthly Jason Smith's Deplorable radio show. At 2 p.m., Izzy Ortiz serves up a varied musical selection on the bi-monthly Izzy's Sunday Afternoon Delight. At 4 p.m., Carlene Murphy and Azuke Sanon bring the politics and culture of Haiti to Greene and Columbia counties on the weekly show Lile Litan. At 6 p.m., Sam Sebrin takes you on a journey across the sonic spectrum on the monthly Everything Is Real radio. And at 10 p.m., it's The Irish Show with Tony Fallon, featuring the best of Irish music, sports results, requests, and interviews. So stay tuned to 90.7 FM or WGXC.org for these programs and more on Sunday, July 8th. And thanks again to all who donated during our recent Radio Everywhere pledge drive for supporting WGXC hands-on community radio for Greene and Columbia counties.
There are so many events on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org, and you can add your own by pressing the Add an Event button right there on the page. If you do, folks like me will read your community event on the radio. Folks around the world will see it online at WGXC.org, including some of these events.
Saturday, July 7th, there's an Art Scouts program for students grades kindergarten through 6th at the Wasaic Project in Wasaic, New York at 10:30 a.m. Elliot Fisk and Yehuda Hanani perform at 8 p.m. at PS21 Saturday, July 7th. It's the annual Paul Grunberg Memorial Bach Concert, classical, with classical guitarist Elliot Fisk and cellist Yehuda Hanani performing Bach cello suites at 8 p.m. Saturday, July 7th at PS21 in Chatham. Functions perform at High Low in Catskill Saturday, July 7th. That band includes Otto Hauser, Rachel Z, Jay Collins, Scott Petito, and David Gilmore. Saturday, July 7th, Red, White, and Indigo is at the Ankrum Opera House. It's a cabaret musical performance by Lady Rizzo, 8:30 p.m. Saturday, July 7th. The Nels Klein Four performs at Club Helsinki in Hudson. The incredible experimental guitarist Nels Klein, who also plays in Wilco, is at Club Helsinki in Hudson Saturday, July 7th. Sunday, July 8th, Crazy Doberman, which includes members of Wolf Eyes and Doberman, perform at the Low Beat in Albany at 8 p.m. Sunday, July 8th. These events and more are online at WGXC Community Calendar, wgxc.org.
I'm I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, your daily grassroots global, unembedded, independent, international investigative news hour, broadcasting live every weekday morning at 8 here on WGXC 90.7 FM in Greene and Columbia counties.
I'm Philip Grant, one of the contributors to All Together Now. Listen to Democracy Now! In the morning and All Together Now! In the evening, WGXC's collaborative hour-long news show at 6 p.m., featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported hands-on radio.
Democracy Now! At 8.
All Together Now! At 6 p.m.
Here on WGXC